News of contaminated water in Flint, Michigan, poisoning some families, has made lead a four-letter word. But lead hasn't always been so unpopular. In fact, as Keystone Crossroads' Irina Zhorov reports, for decades, it was a desirable plumbing material.
I recently walked down the street from our studio on the south side of Pittsburgh to Vogue True Value Hardware.
You sell plumbing equipment here?
Sure do. What are you looking for?
That's Sean Vogue, the store's owner. I asked him if I could buy some lead piping for my house.
No.
Why not?
It's no longer legal. That's like an old-fashioned thing.
He actually looked slightly horrified that I'd requested lead.
The EPA, you know, monitors the city, and they actually did a run-through here probably within the past year, checking all the hardware stores to make sure that there isn't, you know, anything on the shelves anywhere. We didn't have any, you know. I think it's pretty common sense that you don't want lead in your drinking water.
That wasn't always so.
From a purely engineering perspective, lead had attractive features. It was durable and it was malleable. My name is Werner Truskin. I'm a professor of economics at the University of Pittsburgh.
Truskin wrote a book called The Great Lead Water Pipe Disaster.
If you go back and you read the engineering journals from, say, 1900, you find lots of quotations from engineers saying, look, lead's going to last a really long time. This is really the Cadillac of pipes. We want to use it.
And it's true. Lead does last a really long time. In many cases, pipes installed 100 years ago are doing just fine. At the same time, the health effects of lead were minimized. In the 1800s and early 1900s, some doctors linked miscarriages and various health issues to lead poisoning from pipes. But their data were kind of bad, and other pollutants were a bigger concern. Cities were dealing with rising death rates caused by bacteria. Lead poisoning, on the other hand, was a slower-moving, more elusive problem.
Compare that to, say, if somebody says cholera is a problem or typhoid's a problem. Cholera can kill you in 48 hours.
In Pennsylvania, at the turn of the 20th century, most cities were installing lead service lines. Those are the pipes that run from a large water main to individual houses or buildings. For the bigger mains in the streets, lead was too expensive and too soft. When officials did start to accept that lead wasn't all good, the industry fought back. Richard Rabin, a public health professional who's written about lead, says the industry prolonged its product's reign by lobbying.
They sent some of their staff around the country.
They met with plumbing associations, plumbing code writers, and local, state, and federal government officials.
To urge them to keep using lead pipes. In some cases where lead pipes were banned, they were able to get those bans overturned.
Philadelphia already required lead lines in the early 1900s. According to the Lead Industries Association's meeting minutes from 1938, they successfully pushed codes requiring lead for plumbing in the rest of Pennsylvania that year. At a training center for plumbers outside Pittsburgh, Tom Bigley walks past a 2x4 skeleton of a house where students practice various plumbing skills. One wall is lined with toilets and see-through pipes.
You can see that's what happens when you flush your toilet. It gives you a very good visual on how a plumbing system works.
At another workstation, he picks up a sawed-off chunk of lead water line. It's got a bulge where it connects to a valve.
This is actually called a lead wipe joint. They don't do that anymore, but that was part of the trade back. That's why a plumber, that's where they got their name from. That's a Latin word for lead, lead wiper.
Bigley started out in 1980, but he never learned how to make those joints. By then, lead was a little passé. Copper became the material of choice. Then, plastic. Plus, officials finally accepted the negative health effects of lead exposure. Local and federal agencies banned lead by 1986. But many lead lines remain, and Bigley's never really thought it was a problem. While Flint's experience is giving him pause, Bigley and a fellow plumber, John Inks, say the call to replace all lead lines is complicated and expensive.
We're going crazy over this lead thing. Where's it going to stop, though? Is it going to stop at the lead service lines? Is it going to go into like, oh, okay, that was leaded copper back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, part of the 80s? Where's it going to stop? I don't know. I mean, that's a lot. You're talking a lot of infrastructure.
Because even the houses that have copper, they use 50-50 solder. So right. Now you have the solder joints have lead in them.
Right.
So where's it going to end is right.
Yeah. I mean, the valves, right?
They're not against the idea of tackling all that infrastructure. They just seem overwhelmed by the thought of it. And the hardest part? Lead's everywhere, but no one knows where exactly. It's not mapped, not documented. Pittsburgh, for one, is planning to try and identify where the lead lines are. And both the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia utilities and other cities are thinking about what it would take to replace them. Irina Zhurov, Keystone Crossroads.